Welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by the Fredcast. This almost daily summary of the 2008 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, for weekly news, product reviews, upcoming events, and everything you need to know about the world of cycling. Listen to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. The Fredcast can be found at www.thefredcast.com, iTunes, or anywhere you normally look for podcasts. For over 2 years and 100 episodes, the Fredcast is the internet's premier cycling podcast. The Daily Tour is also brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you for your donations via PayPal, and if you'd like to donate, please visit our website at www.thefredcast.com. And now, it's time for the Tour de France 2008 edition of the Daily Tour Podcast. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Daily Tour Podcast. This is stage 17 for Wednesday, July the 23rd, and this day looks to be perhaps one of the best of the entire 2008 Tour de France. Today, we'll be going 210.5 kilometers from Embrun to the famous, or perhaps infamous, depending on how you look at it, Alpe d'Huez. Along the way, there is a Category 3 climb. That's the Côte de Sainte-Marguerite, 3.5 kilometers, 6% grade. Between there and the next climb, there is an intermediate sprint at 57.5 kilometers into the stage. And then, summiting the Col du Galibier, a beyond category or category climb at kilometer 79. It's 21 kilometers to the top of that climb at an average grade of 5.6%. From there, the riders begin a very long descent and then a quick, almost like a whoop-de-doo from BMX, and that is the Col du Telegraph. So they go down and then just quickly up the Col du Telegraph and then back down to a feed zone at 119 kilometers, and then from there, a couple of steps as they climb up another beyond category climb whose summit is at 156 kilometers into the stage, the Col de la Croix de Fer, 29 kilometers of climbing at an average of 5.2%. And then the riders once again head downhill with a couple of little ups in between until they start climbing the famous Alpe d'Huez, and just before they do in Bourg d'Oisans, they will have an intermediate sprint, and then it is 13.8 kilometers, 21 switchbacks at almost 8% average grade to the top of Alpe d'Huez and the finish. And Alpe d'Huez is a famous climb in the Tour de France and a great place to finish. We have seen a lot of riders made and broken on the climb of the Alpe d'Huez. And it seemed going into today that it was possible that someone was going to make a move on the Alpe d'Huez and try to solidify or create their history in this year's Tour de France. Now, who might be considering that? Well, sitting in our yellow jersey going into today's stage is Frank Schleck from Team CSC Saxo Bank. He's been on his bike 68 hours, 30 minutes, in 16 seconds, but just 7 seconds behind him. And a bit of a surprise to be in second place in the general classification in this year's Tour from Team Gerolsteiner, Bernhard Kohl from Austria. In third place, one of the favorites going into this year's Tour de France. Before we even started stage one, everybody felt that Cadel Evans from Australia and Team Ceylon Slotto was a possible for the podium in this year's Tour de France. He's wearing number one because last year's first place finisher in the Tour de France, Alberto Contador, is not allowed to ride in this year's Tour de France because he's part of Team Astana. So Cadel Evans wearing number one, everyone suspected that there was a good chance that he might be able to take the Tour de France this year. He's sitting 8 seconds behind Frank Schleck. In fourth place, a compatriot of Frank Schleck on Team CSC Saxo Bank, another pre-race favorite, Carlos Sastre from Spain. He's 49 seconds back of our yellow jersey. In fifth, yet another pre-race favorite, Denis Menchov from Russia, and Team Rabobank, 1 minute 13 seconds back. Christian Vandevelde from the United States and Team Garmin Chipotle is 3 minutes 15 seconds back in sixth place, and was on a lot of people's lists as an outside shot for this year's Tour de France. Kim Kirkin in seventh from Team Colombia, 3 minutes 23 back. Eighth place right now is being occupied by Alejandro Valverde from Castapania. He's 4 minutes 11 seconds back, but he was another one of those individual riders that was on the top of everybody's pre-race favorites list. Ninth place, Samuel Sanchez, 4:34 back. And in 10th, Tadej Valjevic from Slovenia and AG2R. He's 5 minutes 23 seconds back. Well, looking at today's stage, as we've seen in so many, a break did form and go away early. In that break, Remy De Gregorio from Française de Joux, Ruben Perez from Euskaltel Euskadi, Peter Velits from Milram, and Stefan Schumacher from Gerolsteiner. Schumacher has figured prominently in a lot of the breaks and a lot of the up-the-road action in this year's Tour de France. Now, on the Category 3, Comte de Sainte-Marguerite, first place on that Category 3 climb went to Schumacher, second to De Gregorio, and third to Perez. At the first sprint, points went to De Gregorio, Velits, and Schumacher. Now, a lot of people wonder when it comes to these breaks, are any of these riders actually contenders for the general classification? In this case, the answer was an obvious no, because the highest placed rider in this four-man break in the general classification was Stefan Schumacher, sitting in 26th place, starting today's race 22 minutes and 5 seconds behind Frank Schleck. By the time the four-man break got up and over the Col du Galibier, their lead was well over 6 minutes. And at the top, first-place points went to Stefan Schumacher, second, Remy De Gregorio, third, Peter Velits, and fourth to Ruben Perez. And again, it was more than 6 minutes later before we would find out who would get the rest of the King of the Mountains points. But before the peloton got to the top of the climb, a small break formed, including Wegman, Augustine, remember yesterday, who lost his bike. Actually, parenthetically, not only did they retrieve his bike, but he was able to take the start today and get into this break, so good for him. Bernhard Kohl was there, and Thomas Voeckler was there as well. By the time all the points were counted, again, first place to Schumacher, second, De Gregorio, third, Velits, fourth, Perez, fifth, Kohl, sixth, Voeckler, seventh, Augustine, eighth, Amets Chiruka, ninth to Siutsu, and 10th to Barreto. Now, on the descent, Ruben Perez went off into the grass after De Gregorio, ahead of him on the descent, got a little bit sketchy. Ruben Perez had no choice but to go off into the grass. Nevertheless, he was back up on his bike, and things looked just fine. Bernhard Eisel also going down from Team Colombia on the descent. De Gregorio, obviously not a very confident descender. He was eventually dropped by the other three men in the break and was reabsorbed into the peloton. Really too bad that that ended up happening to him, because he was doing so well and he is such a good climber that he could have been a real help to the other three men in the break today. On the next climb, which is the Col de la Croix de Fer, eventually with CSC setting a driving pace at the front of the peloton, including guys like Stuart O'Grady and Fabian Cancellara, and of course, Andy Schleck, just continues to amaze. With them driving the peloton, they eventually pulled back all of the breakaway and all of the chasing riders until only Peter Velits rode alone at the front of the peloton and eventually went up and over the Col de la Croix de Fer alone, taking the 20 points at the top of the mountain. Second place there, Bernhard Kohl from Gerolsteiner. Third, Kurt Ahl Arvesen for CSC, also taking his turn at the front of the peloton. Fourth, Andy Schleck from CSC. Fifth, Christian Vandevelde. Sixth, Frank Schleck, our yellow jersey. Seventh, Chris Froome from Barloworld. Eighth, David Moncoutier from Gofidis. Ninth, Kim Kirkin from Colombia. And 10th, Carlos Sastre, also from Team CSC. So it seems very clear from that King of the Mountain points, with 1, 2, 3, 4 CSC riders taking points, you could see that they were the ones who were clearly leading the peloton. As the group headed down the backside of the Col de la Croix de Fer and toward Bourg du Huissens to the last intermediate sprint of the day, Jérôme Pinot left the peloton and headed up to join Velits, so that at the sprint, Pinot took first place points, second, Peter Velits, and third, Kurt Ahl Arvesen. Just as the charging peloton started to mount the initial slopes of that 13.8-kilometer Alpe d'Huez with its 21 hairpin turns, Carlos Sastre from Team CSE attacked the peloton, headed up the hill alone and passed Vilits and Pinot and continued his charge up the hill. The question at this point was, would Cadel Evans make a move? Would CSC send Frank Schleck up the road? Or would CSC work to allow and to assist Carlos Sastre as he headed up the road? Well, it soon became clear because attack after attack was reeled in primarily by Andy Schleck. Every single time a rider would go, Vladimir Efimkin would go, Andy Schleck would go with him and bring him back. Alejandro Valverde would go. Andy Schleck and Frank Schleck would go with him and bring him back. It didn't matter who would attack. Every time there was an attack, Andy Schleck would leave the yellow jersey group, head up, thwart the attack, and bring them back. By the end of the day, it seemed very clear that Carlos Sastre was not only going to win the stage, but was going to be putting a lot of time on the other general classification contenders, gaining the yellow jersey and possibly gaining enough of an advantage on the day that might be insurmountable no matter how good of a time trialer Cadel Evans is. Remember, we've got a time trial now coming up on Saturday. The question started to mount. As Carlos headed up the hill, would he have enough time to have a lead that would be insurmountable even by a time trialer like Cadel Evans? Well, when Carlos Sastre crossed the line atop Alpe d'Huez, he did it in 6 hours, 7 minutes, and 58 seconds. And then it was all up to the clock. Samuel Sanchez coming in second place, 2 minutes, 3 seconds back of Sastre. Andy Schleck, 2 minutes, 3 seconds back of Sastre. Alejandro Valverde came in fourth, 2 minutes, 13 seconds back. Coming in fourth and fifth, 2 minutes, 13 seconds behind Carlos Sastre were Alejandro Valverde and our current yellow jersey leader, Frank Schleck. In sixth place, 2 minutes, 15 seconds back, Vladimir Efimkin, and at the same time, Cadel Evans, Denis Menchov, Christian Vandevelde, and Bernhard Kohl. Then it was time to get out the calculators to try to figure out where everybody fit in the overall standings. At the end of the day, Carlos Sastre, now in the yellow jersey for Team CSC Saxo Bank, 74 hours, 39 minutes, and 3 seconds. 1 minute, 24 seconds behind him is Frank Schleck, his teammate from Team CSC Saxo Bank. In third place, 1 minute, 33 seconds back, Bernhard Kohl. And in fourth, Cadel Evans, 1 minute, 34 seconds back. Now the question at this point is whether or not Carlos Sastre can have the time trial of his life on Saturday and defend that 1 minute 34 second gap over Cadel Evans, or whether Cadel Evans can have an amazing and typical time trial and really put the hammer down on Sastre and grab the yellow jersey from him on Saturday. There's been a lot of speculation going on since, well, about midway in today's stage. Why didn't Cadel Evans attack? If he had attacked, he might have been able to solidify a lead of his own and then just build upon that on Saturday. There is another camp that says Cadel Evans knew exactly what he was doing, saving his energy for the time trial coming up, knowing that as long as he didn't let anyone get too far ahead of him, that he would be able to beat them in the time trial. The proof will come on Saturday, but in the meantime, the speculation is going to continue between now and then. Fifth place right now in the general classification is Denis Menchov, 239 back. Christian Vandevelde from the United States is in sixth place, and he is 441 back. Alejandro Valverde is now in seventh. He's 5 minutes 35 seconds back. 552 back is Samuel Sanchez in eighth place. Tadej Valjevic is in ninth, 8 minutes and 10 seconds back, and in tenth, Vladimir Efimkin from AG2R, 8 minutes, 24 seconds back. Our green jersey points leader remains Oscar Ferreira from Rabobank with 219 points. His closest rival is Tor Husov from Norway with 172 points. The polka dot jersey firmly on the shoulders of Bernhard Kohl from Gerolsteiner with 125 KOM points. Carlos Sastre is his closest competitor with 80 points. Frank Schleck also with 80 points. Our best young rider, there is no doubt about this. Andy Schleck from Team CSC Saxobank, 74 hours, 49 minutes, and 18 seconds. His closest rival, Roman Kreuzinger from Team Liquigas, 1 minute, 58 seconds back. And behind them, Vincenzo Nibali now, 15 minutes, 24 seconds behind Andy Schleck. Well, the high mountains are now behind our riders as tomorrow they leave Bourg-du-Oisin and head to Saint-Étienne. It's 196.5 kilometers along the way, an intermediate sprint at 43 kilometers, the summit of the Col de Parmenier. It's a Category 3 climb, almost 5.5 kilometers, 7% average grade. Then it's essentially, there's a little bump in the road, but then it's downhill until they begin the assault of the Category 2 Croix de Montvieux, 13.7 kilometer climb, but unlike today's Alpe d'Huez at 13.8 kilometers, this one has an average of 4.7%, whereas the Alpe d'Huez has the average of almost 8%. That makes the Croix de Montvieux a Category 2 climb. From there, there is an intermediate sprint at 181.5 kilometers into the stage, and then just 6.5 kilometers later is the summit of the Category 4 Côte des Sorbières. That's 4.3 kilometers and an average of 3.2%. It is essentially a flat finish from there to Côte des Sorbières. It could be one of those stages that favors the sprinters, depending on how they do on these Category 3 and Category 2 climbs. We will be with you again tomorrow via Twitter and here on the podcast, but I suspect that the big action that remains in the 2008 Tour de France is to come in the individual time trial on Saturday. Nevertheless, I appreciate you joining me here and on Twitter, and I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Thanks so much. Have a great evening. So long. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. That's thefredcast@gmail.com. Or you can send a voicemail to area code 435-258-6373. That's 435-258-6FRED. Be sure to follow our frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is DailyTour. Remember, there's no space. And you can sign up for those at twitter.com/DailyTour or by sending a text message to 40404 with the words follow Daily Tour. And of course, please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com for the final results of the day's racing and, of course, for the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. I will see you all again on the next episode of the Daily Tour or the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Please don't forget to tell your friends about the show. We love to get new listeners. And in the meantime, thank you for listening to the Daily Tour Podcast.